If you're tired of living under the burden of debt, stay tuned. Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom starts now. And here's your host, CEO and Chief Counsel of the Alliance Legal Group and Director of Christian Rights Ministries, Steve Taylor.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, and I have with me today Colleen. How are you doing today, Colleen?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
Doing well. Well, today is February 23rd, isn't it?
It is. Yes,
February
I checked 23rd, my calendar.
And it's the 2021. A lot of things are going on, and it's good having each one of you on the air today. This is Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom, and we're going to be talking today about how to get yourself debt-free. And this is a radio call-in program where you can call us directly, and any questions you might have about either bankruptcy or debts or you know, whatever sort of, sometimes we even just take general questions about life.
That's good too. You know, whatever's going on in your life, and it all kind of factors in. You don't think that, you know, money and financial stuff,
sure.
People try to compartmentalize parts of their life, but really it kind of all factors in together. We talk about obviously issues of faith and hope and Christianity as well. So it's kind of a fun thing.
So feel free to call in, and that we'd love to hear from you, and let us know that you're one of the people listening today. And our number is 757-488-5299. That's 757-488-5299. And if you want to talk to me directly, I just had a young lady on the phone that if you call if you go to our online presence at debtfreeva.com, that's debtfreeva.com, at debtfreevirginia.com, that you'll get a little chat box up there. So Alliance Legal Group, that's the station that sponsors this program. And the chat box person will set you up an appointment to speak to me. Actually, they will actually try to get through to me.
Right then and there?
Right then and there. Just
wow.
Like this person was on the phone. This young lady was calling saying, you know, I just wanted to talk to you. I said, well, I'd really like to talk to you. Do you listen to the radio? And she goes, not really. I said, well, I'll have to call you back in half an hour. But that if you go to debtfreeva.com, they will try to get a hold of me directly. And if I'm not available for whatever reason, like we have a radio program going on, they'll leave me a message, and that we'll actually usually, if they can't get a hold of me, then it goes on to my my email page thing, and then either myself or one of my staff will then set up an appointment, call you up, and then set up an appointment with me.
So certainly you try to get back to people as soon as possible.
We try to. I told this young lady that was on the phone, it'd probably be a half an hour. You know, once we get done with the program, I'll try to give her a quick call and see if I can help her some way. So if that's you, then you want to talk to me directly, that I take free phone calls, and just debtfreeva.com, and you get right through to me. If you can't get a hold of me, we'll set something up so that you can talk and we can discuss the issue that's confronting you. And again, this is Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom, that the law practice that I work at, I got saved in 1999, and then shortly after that, I recognized that everything that we do needs to be for the Lord and about the Lord and in furtherance of what He would have you do. And so we have a Christ-centered practice, a law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual needs for our clients, community, and employees, and to support His perfect will. That's our mantra, that we our mission vision statement.
Very good.
Yeah, and so that's
keeps you focused. Keeps you on
us focused. We say it at the end of every. We have a prayer. We have a prayer meeting every morning at 8:30 to 9 o'clock. Pastor Don, he's called in here a lot of times over the, you know, the last several months that he leads us in the morning. That you're actually welcome to join us during that prayer session. Of course, we're not doing them in the office currently. We're doing them via Zoom. But then we're happy to send you a link and you can join us for prayer, and that we go over some of the day's headlines. You know, we read a passage from the New Testament, that we pray for each other. So if you're interested, you know, please let me know. We'd love to have you part of that. We used to have people come in the office all the time, you know, before the pandemic, the China flu, you know, that thing. And so debtfreeva.com is how you reach me directly, and I'd love to hear from you and let me know, you know, your concerns, that you're listening to us. We'd love to hear from you. But today that we're going to be talking again specifically about bankruptcy, and the thought would be, I've really been coming across, I always come across, but maybe not more so than at prior times, but things you either should do or should not do in preparation for filing bankruptcy.
Okay, the do's and don'ts.
The do's and don'ts. And there are many of them, and this related to the several different areas that a bankruptcy relates to. And so, you know, there's four primary areas.
I was gonna say, is there a long list for this?
No, I was trying to break it down. I didn't have like a, you know, top 10 things to do or not to do. But, you know, the kind of the thumbnail sketch of where we're going today is that we're going to take a look at the four basic things you have to do to file bankruptcy. And then the four things not to do in relationship to those four things.
Okay.
All right. So with that being kind of our maybe template.
Your outline.
Yeah. So the four things it takes for a person to file bankruptcy. And we're going to be talking about 7s and 13s, Chapter 7, Chapter 13, individual consumer bankruptcies. Things like me and you would do, not 11s and 12s, which would be businesses and farms.
That's a totally different thing.
Totally different thing. And
side note, do you handle those as well?
No, I don't.
No, okay.
No, I
you just do individual
bankruptcies. Yeah, I think like last year, I don't know for sure, I don't have the number, but I remember looking at one year at the end of the year, they did like 40 in all of Hampton, in the Norfolk division.
Okay.
They don't do very many of those.
Right.
And even fewer farms.
Okay.
So it's very rare that there are folks that I'll be happy to send you to, and we send them to those people that do contact us, to very, very excellent professional folks that will do a great job. But they're very expensive. They're very expensive, especially the 11s. You know, you have to come up with like $10,000, $15,000 just to start the plan. So it's usually, you know, somebody that really has a substantial enterprise going on. So these are just individual consumer debtors with individual consumer type of debts. And so these are 7s and 13s. And so for a 7, that's usually what most folks want to get into for some reason. You know, a lot of reasons, I guess, but it's easy, it's quick, and it gets rid of your bills. And so you don't have to be part of this bankruptcy system for 3 to 5 years, making payments to a trustee. You just don't want, you know, and listen, trust me, I do understand that, you know, that there are great benefits for a Chapter 13, and that for those that would benefit from those, man, I'm all for it. But that I also understand being hooked up with the federal government as your accountant for 3 to 5 years sometimes isn't like, you know, your number one on your to-do list.
Sure.
And so we're not going to really talk about the pros and cons of 7s and 13s, but these are really applicable in many cases to both, you know, types of bankruptcies. So let's talk about Chapter 7. That the Chapter 7, and remember, if you have a question, please call in at 488-5299. But that a Chapter 7 has four, you can boil it down to four basic requirements. One is a time frame. You can't have filed a Chapter 7 in the last 8 years and got a discharge. And so the question is, so I don't know how many do's and don'ts there are. Obviously, you don't want to file within that time period because you're going to have a problem. But that the question that becomes, you know, you're within a year or 2 years of that 8 year mark. You filed that Chapter 7 6 years ago. And so you might just say, well, you know, I got to wait 2 years. That's when the Chapter 13 option comes into play. In fact, you know, that the any time after 4 years from filing Chapter 7, that the Chapter 13 becomes a real good option to get rid of your bills.
So it's not a hard and fast. There are options in there.
Yeah, so I guess the main thing with the time frame issue is don't think that you can't file. We talked about this a couple of weeks back. Don't think that you're disqualified from filing. You know, if you otherwise qualify for a Chapter 13, you can always file a Chapter 13. You can't always get a discharge of your debts, but lots of times the thing you're trying to prevent, like garnishments and, you know, repossessions, foreclosures, those can be stopped. And so they're a very good option many times. So rule, I guess, the first don't is don't feel that you can't file just because you filed within the last 8 years.
Okay.
So that's not really the same thing we're going to be talking about, but that's all I can think of as far as the, there's probably other things in there, but that's as to that one category. Remember, this is a 30-minute program, of which we get about 15 minutes, so we don't have a lot of time sure. to spend on each one of them. Number two, income and expenses. Okay, number, that's really income, disposable income. That's the second one. How much money do you have left over at the end of the month? Well, that's one of the requirements in a Chapter 7. You basically can't have much in a Chapter 7. You have to have no disposable income.
No extra money.
No extra money. If you got a lot of extra money, then you should be either in a Chapter 13 or, you know, not in bankruptcy.
Right.
So if you got a lot of extra money, you're making like $5,000 a month, you got $2,000 worth of expenses, you're going to have an issue with the Chapter 7.
They're going to wonder why you're not paying
your bills.
You're going
to say you got $3,000, you know, and so that the you can't do this. And so, you know, the usually most folks that contact us are not in that position.
Right.
But some people, you know, trying to do the right thing, for instance, let's say that they're just really struggling. You got a single mom here and, you know, that she's really struggling hard and that she's not getting all the, you know, she's just having a hard time. So what does she do? She's borderline chapter. She qualifies for a chapter. She doesn't have that extra money. But she thinks she's going to do the right thing. And she's going to go out and start working like, you know, 70 hours a week, you know. And all of a sudden, for the last 2 months, she's making a lot of money. I mean, a lot of money. I mean, compared to what she was making. She may have disqualified herself for a Chapter 7 right now because
By
trying to do the right thing. That the last 2 months' income is what they primarily look at to determine how much money you're making. So, you know, we have some folks that have to wait. You know, they take a look. They're in item number three is going to be gross income, and they take a look at the six-month period in that time. So it's the same basic thing that they take a look at 6 months gross income and two for the what they call the means test or the gross income test, and they take a look at the last 2 months for the net income test. And so in both cases, some people just go out and make a lot of money, work really hard. I mean, this is not what they usually make. This is not what they could sustain over a long period of time.
Maybe they sell some stuff or things like that.
Real estate agents, we always run into that issue. You know, they have like, you know, big commissions come up and they usually don't make anything during the year. And you got these two big commissions and all of a sudden it looks like they're making a lot of money. And so, you know, the courts and the trustee do allow us, you know, I mean, they're reasonable. They say, okay, well, it's obvious that this person doesn't make this every 2 months. And you can argue it, and you can spread the number out over a six-month period or a year period. But the standard rule is you take a look at the last 2 months, divide it by two, and that's your monthly income. And it's usually sometimes it's not appropriate, you know, to judge this person or this family's income based upon the last 2 months. And so, you know, one of the things is, you know, when we have this free consultation that you can call in and we'll talk to you about, we ask, you know, how much have you made over the last couple of months? How much do you make? How much do you take home every, you know, do you have significant changes in your income? You know, and it's not like planning to make like less so that you qualify. Usually it's a question of let's getting a realistic average of what your income is. And so there's some things you do and some things you don't. Not necessarily getting the, you know, sometimes it's better just to go ahead and file bankruptcy rather than getting the second job, you know, and just struggling and using all the extra money that you have that you work for and then, you know, taking time away from your family. Just file and get rid of the bills and start over. You know, that might be the best solution rather than work to pay, you know, the interest off your creditors. I'm not telling you that that's not the answer. Sometimes you can, you know, by your own bootstraps, pull yourself up and get out of that stuff. You know, and so maybe that is the answer, but maybe it's not. At least you want to know where you're at with your disposable income issue. So that's a consideration, a possible don't do this, or at least do see us before you make that decision to try to make a lot of extra money in a short period of time. Same thing with expenses, you know, because your disposable income is based on how much money you got and how much expenses you have. And so, you know, you want a normal lifestyle picture when you go into this bankruptcy.
Right.
And so the question is, you know, what are your expenses? You know, that sometimes people are making are living way too extravagantly.
Yeah.
And so that the trustee would say, I don't think you could have like, you know, $400 of entertainment.
You know, where's all that going to?
Right? Yeah. So, you know, we need to look at
until you sit down and look at all of that. It's hard to.
So we'll
really
do a budget. We'll do a budget with you. I'll usually do a very quick budget and kind of get an idea of where people are at and get an idea of what's going on as far as their budget.
Food costs, if you look at that, you know, really? I spent that much on groceries.
Sometimes you're supporting your neighbor. I've seen people say, well, I give $400 to my neighbor every month because she can't pay her bills. I said, well, that's great, but you're not going to qualify for bankruptcy for that because, you know, the trustee's going to say, listen, that's not your job. Mm-hmm. And your creditors are suffering from that. So we take a look at the expenses and we take a look at what reasonable income is and what reasonable expenses are for this particular person in this particular situation, and that we make suggestions and we say, listen, you know, you might consider doing this or you might not consider doing that. You know, lots of times we'll go over the expenses and the income. A lot of times people will vehicles, let's say for vehicles, for instance, we have lots of times people buy vehicles like the day before the thing. Now, that sounds like a smart move sometimes. Cause I'm going to file bankruptcy. I ain't going to be able to get credit, I don't think. And so I want to file bankruptcy. You know.
Okay.
So they go out and get that vehicle. But, you know, sometimes they forget that, you know, the same financing statement that they used for the purchase of the vehicle is going to be possibly reviewed when they, you know, when they do their bankruptcy schedules. And, you know, for some reason, they're not going to look the same. You don't want that to happen.
No.
And of course, we're talking about honest people, but sometimes, you know, they come out different for some reason. And so you want to make sure people understand, you know, what to do. There's all kinds of issues with buying vehicles, either before or there are also issues with, you know, people say, I had to sell my vehicle because it's worth a lot of money to my son for like $100.
Oh, okay.
You know, what's called insider trading sort of things, you know, insider sales. And so that if it's not for fair market value, you probably don't want to do that because a trustee can go back in, that's the person in bankruptcy that reviews this stuff, and say, listen, that's not fair to your creditors, and we're going to upset that transfer. Mm-hmm. You know, so transfers made to insiders, I believe it's within 2 years, but I know it's within, well, I should know that off the top of my head, but that insider trading, you know, trading to family members.
Like a family member, you have to, you know, like
fair market value, and they look at all of those. You have to list them on a petition. You got to sign your name under threat of perjury. So before you sell your vehicle or before you, especially when it's a family member, let's take a look at what's going on with those. Mm-hmm. And so buying and selling, we always ask them, you know, have you made any big transfers within the last, you know, year to 2 years, up to 3 years. And so that's a big issue. So, you know, let's take a look at what you've done. And sometimes you want to say, listen, you did that transfer like, you know, a year and 11 months ago. Why don't we just wait to file like till after the 2 year mark? That way, at least you won't have to answer the question. You know, if they have to answer it, you have to answer it. But, you know, I know it was a fair transaction. It was all good. But, you know, maybe it'd be better not to raise that issue if you didn't have to. By just let's wait and then answer the question, you know. And so reviewing the do's and the don'ts as far as buying and selling with the attorney before you go forward on it's probably a good idea. So we're down to 12 minutes. We got two areas left, and
Okay. We've
kind of covered the third one a little bit. And that's, you know, we're talking about income and expenses, you know, buying and selling. And that I know this, you know, you might be driving your car and say, this is so dry, you know.
How does it apply to me? Right.
And so, you know, that my primary goal in serving people through bankruptcy is to get rid of your debt and not have problems during the, you know, what I really strive to do in helping somebody by filing bankruptcy for them is not allow them to make decisions in filing the bankruptcy is going to cause problems.
Right.
You know, you don't want the trustee to, you know, have a, you know, presumption of abuse thing filed against you.
Legal terms.
Yeah, it means, you know, basically they say you're making too much money.
Right.
You know, which is the third thing we're talking about is that
That's a hard position to be put in, you know, when you're trying, when you think you don't have enough money, but then they're thinking that you have more than you're supposed to have or something.
Yeah. And so that, so what we try to do is we try to, you know, take a look at their numbers. And, you know, a lot of times this that's the third category. It's the gross income category. And that the sometimes they say, well, over the last 6 months, you've made too much. Ever since 2005, they've had this means test. Means, not that you're a bad person, that you make more than the average, according to the IRS for your area. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's very fair that it's not, it's not, certainly not debtor friendly, and that sometimes it's not very appropriate in a person, in a family's lifestyle. They might be outside the means test, but they still need some financial help. Mm-hmm. And so that the if you make too much money according to the rules, we have this little program, it's called Best Case, and you put all the numbers in, and if you're too much money, it's got a little yellow face with an unhappy smile on it, versus the green face with a happy smile
on it. Oh, you want a green face with a happy smile.
You want the green face with a happy smile. And, you know, sometimes you can argue and say, well, let's just give it a shot. But that, you know, you need an attorney's advice to say, listen, this is what you're going into. We can take a shot. But you might have this presumption of abuse thing happening, and you know it's kind of like with the IRS. You know, your accountant might tell you, yeah, you can give, you know, as much money for charity as you want. That's, anything's good. He's probably not going to tell you that because he's going to say at some point you're going to probably like throw a red flag, you know, and then you're going to get audited. Nobody wants an audit,
right?
And so that. So it's the same
There's
thing
a with, line, and you don't know what you don't know. Like,
exactly.
This is where I am. Like you were saying, this topic, not everybody understands. Like, you're, I don't quite understand that. Well, you don't know what you don't know until you talk to somebody like you, Steve, at the Alliance Legal Group. You know, and that's why we're inviting our listeners to go to debtfreeva.com to talk to you, to find out information if they're in this situation, if they know someone in a situation that could benefit from talking to you. That's what we would encourage them to do, is to go to debtfreeva.com.
We have four attorneys, myself. We have Kenneth Goolsby. He's been with us for, I don't know how many years, you know, at least six or seven years, probably more than that. I'm not sure. We have Carter Budwell. We have Dave Cassidy. They've been all with us for a long time. That they're excellent bankruptcy professionals, and that they would be happy to review your income, your budget, determine whether or not you're within guidelines, what they call guidelines. And if you're not, then, you know, maybe how to get within guidelines, or maybe, you know, the alternative, which, you know, might be a Chapter 13, might be lots of different sort of issues, you know. And so that it's a big deal, because if you file in that you're, like I said, nobody wants a presumption of abuse. Nobody wants, you know, issues when they're trying to get rid of issues.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you want to go ahead and let's ranch it and let's see what happens. But, you know, I can tell you probably what's going to happen. And we'll probably discourage you if you think, you know, we got the long form, we got the short form, we got all kinds of different stuff that we can kind of review. Can I give you an idea? Maybe how to avoid the whole problem altogether. So income is a big deal, and how much money you make and how much money it looks like you make and how much money, you know, that they think that you're making versus how much money you actually have left over is part of the whole plan. All right. So with the last section now coming, you know, we've covered, you know, the filing issue, the disposable income issue, the gross income issue. The final issue is the asset issue. And we touched on it a little bit with the cars. But some people say, you know, now listen, they just changed the law this year. The homestead deed thing is no more. You used to always look at, you know, did the person file a bankruptcy anywhere in history? And then we had to add up all the numbers for the homestead deed, and you had a total of $5,000 to protect an individual's assets in general. But a real good thing happened. They got rid of the whole homestead deed thing. So first of all, you don't got to worry about having filed a Chapter 7 38 years ago and used all your homestead exemption. That's gone. What we do have now is this: as to your principal residence, we have a $25,000 exemption per person, which is great. It's not as good as like Texas and California and places like that, Florida, but that it's a lot better than we used to have. And so that there's lots of exemptions that we can use to protect your assets, but we need to know what your assets are and how to protect them, because you don't want to file Chapter 7 and lose your assets.
Right.
Because you can't, once you file Chapter 7, you can't really stop it. You don't have the voluntary right of dismissal anyhow, like you do in Chapter 13. So the things not to do is that, you know, people say, well, you know, I've got a lot of assets. You know, I want to file Chapter 7. So, you know, I need to get rid of my assets. You know, I want to go ahead and get all of them. And they have this two-year look-back thing where the trustee can say, what have you transferred in the last 2 years? And they say, well, you know, I did this car to this one person. And they go, oh, yeah, well, can you tell me more about it? And they look for a fair market value, see if it was a fair deal and that kind of thing. And they can look back up to 5 years, you know, like on gifts.
On everything you've given or sold or
absolutely.
Those kind of
things. It's usually 2 years, but they you know, we had this one trustee not too long back that he used to always look back 5 years, and he was permitted to do so because, you know, in some transactions, you can actually look back 5 years. So, you know, the thing to do in planning for your own bankruptcy isn't to take upon yourself, you know, this is what I'm going to transfer, this is how I'm going to do it, you know. You know, just to ask an attorney and say, yeah, you might have an issue with that. You probably know what the issues are, you know, that sometimes it's not an issue at all.
Right.
You got this vehicle that you just want to sell because you want to get rid of it. You can go ahead and sell it. You know, you can file within a month, 2 months, 2 days before in some cases. In other cases, you might not want to do that because it'll bring that red flag sort of issue. So I guess it's mostly asset transfers. There's probably a lot more we could talk about with assets, but that basically buying and selling of assets, you know, when you recognize that you're going to possibly be needing a bankruptcy, before you do those, see the attorney, get the free consultation, get the advice, should I do this, should I not do this, how will it affect me, etc. And so that's kind of, you know, in 30 minutes, there are do's, there are don'ts to consider when you start thinking about getting rid of your bills in bankruptcy and restructuring your bills in bankruptcy. So that's what you should see an attorney for. That's why we provide debtfreeva.com. We would love to speak to you. And if you want to either call in, it's probably a little late now to call in because we only have a couple minutes left. But if you want to go to debtfreeva.com, we'll set you up a consultation like this young lady that we had just before the program. And you get to speak to an attorney and that we can answer your questions and give you some of that information.
It's good to get that wise counsel on a lot of those things where you don't want to just rush through and try to make decisions, especially when, you know, those things that every little thing that you do will be affected, will affect the outcome.
Yep. You know, the scriptures tell us that, you know, consult with many counselors before you go to war. And so that's what you should do. You should get counseling as to what the rules are. You know, I had to get a juris doctor. I'm not like Miss Biden who says I'm a doctor. You know, Dr. Biden. I don't say that. Even though I got a juris doctor, I mean, I got a JD. I'm an attorney. But we have an education that we're, you know, that. But the thing probably even more important than the education is we got experience. You know, I've been doing this for almost 30 years, and so you get to see what. How the lay of the land. We're also, we do more bankruptcies, Chapter 7s, than anybody else in Hampton Roads. So we have a pretty good idea about what will work and what won't work. And that's what you need. You need to get, and the advice is free. We're going to just tell you like it is, tell you problem, no problem, what to do, what not to do. So I guess you're giving me the one finger. No, I see two on here, but we need to land this thing, I guess. So any questions, Colleen, or any thoughts as we close?
Again, no, thank you for laying that out. And again, people are in different stages. And so if you're listening and you say, well, I don't know if bankruptcy is for me, and it might not be. We've said that before, but consider those options. And if you have even a thought that it might be, you should contact the Steve at debtfreeva.com and find out more information there about what your situation looks like. And join us every Tuesday and Thursday right here at 12:30.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood that you provided through the death of your son that we might have forgiveness and complete forgiveness of sins, complete ability to have a fresh start. So I pray for that person that's furthest away, God, that they might come to a saving knowledge in Jesus today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Biblical Solutions for Financial Freedom. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for more Christ-centered solutions to financial problems. If you would like more information about the Alliance Legal Group, or Christian Rights Ministries, please visit debtfreeva.com or call 757-923-4357. That's 757-923-4357.